Good morning, everybody, and welcome again to the Mid-North Coast and out here on a cloudy day at Lake Ennis. Last Sunday, I read a couple of verses that really moved me. And along with moving me, they challenged me. Let me share them with you. Psalm 73, verses 25 and 26, maybe you've heard them. The writer, speaking of God, says, "Whom have I in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on earth. My health may fail and my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever." Wow. The confidence and the strength in what he said. It's just powerful. And this is the desire of every believer, to be just that way. But I have to admit that what the writer's talking about is a bit of a struggle for me. It's my desire, but I'm really not there yet. How about you? Well, see, it's easy enough to say that there's no one in heaven but God. Well, that's a given. But when it comes to desires in the world, is God the overriding focus of our lives? Does everything else in our world shrink in comparison to an all-consuming desire to know God? I think we all, me included, crash and burn right there. Am I right? Well, so we ask the question, how did the writer get to this conclusion? Was he some kind of a super worshiper of God, or did he do something else to reach this exalted, wonderful conclusion? Well, the truth is, to reach this, it was quite a struggle for the writer. Matter of fact, he almost walked away before he came to that conclusion. Today we're going to look at his story. So go with me to Psalms chapter 73 and we'll get started. But first, let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the day you've given. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for this challenging passage of Scripture that we all want to rise to. But the truth be known, most of us are not there yet. So help us to learn from the writer of this psalm, so maybe we can apply some of the things that he applied in his life. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. In the very beginning of the psalm, we find that the writer was Asaph. Asaph was one of the leaders in the temple worship. He was a highly talented musician. I guess in today's terminology, he was a leader in the worship team. But we really don't know if David dictated this to Asaph or Asaph wrote it for himself. But for me, I believe that Asaph wrote this and we can learn some things from him. So let's look at verse number one. Truly God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. And truer words have never been spoken. God was good to Israel. God is good to us. There's so many things that he does for us. But you know, the next verse is where it really gets personal and we get a chance to look into Asaph's life. Verse number two, he says, "But as for me," this was his testimony, "but as for me, my feet almost stumbled and my steps nearly slipped." Something happened that distracted Asaph from his focus on God. Yes, a leader in the worship team, in the temple of God. Something distracted his focus from God, and he almost walked away and crashed and burned. So what was it? Verse number three. "For I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." Asaph took his eyes off of God and he started looking at the people in his culture and he started longing for what they had. He explains, verse 4, "For they have no pangs until death. Their bodies are fat and sleek. They are not in trouble as others are. They are not stricken like the rest of the world. Simply stated, the people he was watching were living ungodly lives, and they were living in the lap of luxury and having the time of their lives. They were getting rich, but he was struggling. They were having fun, but here he sits living under the law of God, not enjoying himself nearly as much as the people in his culture was. Well, he thought since they were living ungodly lives, that God should judge them. And here he was doing everything right, and it was a battle, it was a struggle. He almost threw his hands up and said, "Enough!" and walked away. You ever been there? Let's be honest, you ever been there? Perhaps you're there now. Your friends or people on TV, they're having so much fun, but you're not. So you just want to say, forget this faith. I'm going to go out and have some fun. Do you find yourself there? Then the godless culture that Asaph was living in goes from bad to worse. The people actually start mocking God. Look at verse number 9. They set their mouths against the heavens and their tongue struts through the earth. They move from sinful actions to outright mockery of heavenly things. Have you ever seen that before? It's funny how history repeats itself. Look at verse number 10 and 11. Therefore his people turn back to them and they find no fault in them. And they say, God's people, how can God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? As the culture gets worse, the people of God follow them. Not a good place to be in. But you and I know that in a lot of places, that's exactly where we are today. And then Asaph looks at all of this and he begins to tumble. Look at verses 13 and 14. All in vain I have kept my heart clean and washed my hands in innocence. In other words, he followed the law of God in verse 14. All the day long I have been stricken and rebuked every morning. Asaph thinks, is it worth it to serve this God? I try to do the right thing, yet I get hammered every morning for doing it. This is a question that probably all of us need to ask or have asked. Maybe you're asking that right now. And then Asaph gets frustrated. And he says, verse 16, when I thought how to understand this, it was just too painful for me. He just couldn't get it. He couldn't wrap his head around it. Why? When he would do what's right, he gets hammered. But everybody else is having fun. What's he going to do? Go with me to verse number 17 and we'll find out what Asaph did. He writes, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. In Asaph's day, people, or God met with people in the temple. And when Asaph went into the temple of God, God revealed to him the things that he needed to know. What was it? Verse 18 and 19. Truly, you set them in a slippery place, and you make them fall to ruin. How they are destroyed in a moment and swept away utterly by terrors. God tells Asaph that the wicked are having a good time now. Yes, they're getting rich and having a great time. But there's coming a day when judgment arrives and destruction will follow. You see, God's not lost control. He's aware of what's going on in your life. He's aware of what's going on in theirs, living in the culture, living ungodly lives. He's aware. Then when Asaph sees all of this and hears from God, he confesses to God. Look at verses number 21 and 22. Then I realized that my heart was bitter. And I was all torn up inside because he was looking at what's going on. He became bitter at his situation. He continues, I was so foolish and ignorant. I must have seemed like a senseless animal to you. Look, bitterness controlled Asaph. And he lost the reality of God. That can happen to us so quickly if we get our eyes on the culture. And when Asaph did that, he almost walked away from his faith. But then he repents of his wrong thinking. And with repentance comes a restoration of the reality of God. Let's let Asaph explain, verse 23 and 20 through 26. Yet I still belong to you, and you hold my right hand. What a blessed promise. You guide me with your counsel, leading me to a glorious destiny. That's what every believer has. He continues, whom have I in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on earth. My health may fail, and my spirit may grow weak. But God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That is what we have as followers of Jesus Christ. This is where we all want to be. But then looking at Asaph, he got here. But it almost cost him his faith to reach this point. So what are some things that we have learned from Asaph? Well, first, it's easy for us to look at our culture and get disappointed with where God has us. Yes, a lot of people out there are having a great time and they're getting rich. But their day will come. But the truth is, so will ours. God will come through. God will lift us up. God will reward faithfulness. The second thing that we can learn when we get distracted, we just might walk away from our faith. From what I hear around the world, there's a lot of Christians that's getting distracted, or quote-unquote Christians that are getting distracted and walking away. And thirdly, we've learned that to correct that distraction, we need to find a sanctuary and let God show us the truth and embrace us with his mercy. Now, let me ask you, do you have a sanctuary? A place maybe you can get alone with God? For some, it's a prayer closet. That's just a good idea. For others, it might be out in the bush. If you can get out in the bush and just spend some time with God, what a wonderful place to be. For others, it might be sitting in your easy chair before the sun comes up in the morning and everything is quiet. And there you meet with God. Remember, it's in your sanctuary where God can touch the deepest part of your soul and cleanse your thinking. And after God takes us through that sanctuary experience, maybe we can say with Asaph, whom have I in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on earth. My health may fail and my spirit may grow weak, but God, you, O God, remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. I think we can learn some things from Asaph. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for Asaph, and thank you that he gave us such an intimate look into his life. He didn't cover anything up. He exposed what he was going through, but he revealed you to be the strength of his heart. And he shows us how he reached this exalted position of ultimate trust and confidence and focus on you. May we get there as well. In Jesus' name, amen.